As you're turning this evening with me to the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter 11, as you're turning there, let me ask you a question. What would the world be like if everybody in the world lived according to the golden rule? What if everybody did their best to live just as Jesus taught in Matthew 7 and verse 12? All you would that men should do unto you, do you also unto them, for such is the law and the prophets. Or as we've come to paraphrase it since, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. What a wonderful world it would be if everybody lived that way. Wars would cease immediately. Crime would no longer exist. Marriages would stay intact. Relationships would stay intact. Churches would stay together. So much would be remedied simply by a mass application of that one golden rule. Of course, that's fantasy. Everybody does not live that way. Everybody is not going to live that way. And God expects from us a higher way of living than the world lives. In fact, if you ask the way the world looks at things, it's more a matter of this for that. It's more of an exchange. The law of reciprocity. I'll do to you as you've done to me. And this speaks to the difference in what we give of ourselves and what we might expect from those around us coming back in our direction. From what we do going out from us, we do what's right regardless. We do what's best for those, even those we don't like, regardless. Because that's what the Bible says. Because that's the law we live under. Because that's who we've become in Christ. But sometimes it gets frustrating when we realize that's not the way people are treating me. No, they aren't. And no, they won't. But that's what we read of, at least in portion of the passage here before us, as we consider this wise counsel from Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Beginning at verse number 1, we'll read, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth, and a tree falls to the south or to the north. In the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." And as we begin this evening, I'd like to take your attention to the first of this passage. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. It's just an Old Testament way of saying what Jesus later says in the book of Luke in chapter 6. Now, he's just said in the verse before this one, of what he'll say in Matthew's account in chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged, for what measure you meet, it'll be measured to you again. What judgment you judge, you'll be judged. And then he talks about the mote and the speck. Well, here in Luke's account in chapter 6, the next verse takes it one step further in terms of relationships. "Give, and it will be given unto you. Full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall be poured upon your lap. For as you measure or give, it'll be given back to you." Well, this is the way the world operates, and that's what largely happens when we give out to others. Now, we give out to others regardless of what comes back to us. But the point is, you can expect over time in general, with all things averaged out, to get back about what you give. It would be nice if it were more than that. If I can give just a little bit, then I get back so many. Well, no, you get about what you give, and you give about what you get in terms of the way the world operates. And so you give of yourself, you get back in that portion. And even more so sometimes, on average, but you get back about what you give. And that's exactly what the wise man Solomon is saying in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. You cast your bread upon the waters. And the idea there is not to be so exacting and so concerned with receiving that you monitor your good deeds, you monitor your gifts based upon what you might return, what you might get back. Like I say, the world operates that way. But no, we just do good for the sake of doing good. We do good because Christ taught us to do good. We could do good because that's what the golden rule says. And it comes back to us in so many ways that we can never understand at first. We can never imagine at first. It comes back in so many ways to bless not just those we're doing good for, but also in ways unexpected to bless our own lives. The world you live in is largely a mirror of what you are and what you put out. It's both positive and negative. You see the world with a sullen, bitter mindset. You see everybody as an enemy or a possible obstacle to you getting what you want. You view the world itself as an impediment to your happiness. You're going to receive back exactly as you've expected to receive. You created that world for yourself, and you get back what you've put out. On the other hand, though, you live a life of love and kindness, cheerfulness and faith. You live a life of Christ-likeness. And no, not everybody's going to appreciate that. Not everybody's going to repay in kind as you've done. But on average, you'll receive back as you've given. You'll create a world that you have imagined because you get back as you give. And as I say, in ways you can never imagine. Emerson once said that the reward of doing a thing well is the knowledge of having done it. Well, that's kind of a stoic view of life. And I think there's some truth to it, but if that were all there was to it, there wouldn't be a lot of good being done. What he's saying is, you do a good thing because it feels good to have done it. Well, for some people, it just doesn't feel good to do it because they're afraid they're not going to get anything in return. They'll have nothing coming back at them. They'll just be wasting their good efforts. Why should I be a good person when nobody else is? But Jesus raises the bar from that. And he tells us that the reward of doing a thing well is because, well, listen to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we left out a part of that on purpose. If you know the verse, do you know what we left out? For great is your reward in heaven. Our reward in heaven comes from our shining as lights. Our reward in heaven, we don't earn it, but it comes back to us from heaven and from others. As we give, so we receive. Now, in the text, there's a reward for being persecuted. But here, those who shine as lights, they also have a reward of heaven for doing exactly what the Lord expects, what He demands. We do what's right because the Bible says to, because Jesus lived that way, because we're His people, we wear His name, because it's the right thing to do, and God shines His blessings on people like that. I think sometimes people have the wrong, or perhaps the right, sadly so sometimes, perspective of those of us in the church. I hope not. I hope they're wrong in this. But sometimes I think we're just people who know things and teach things and say things and never do anything to help anybody. And that's part of the hypocrisy sometimes they point out in individual members of churches. Well, they say they love people, but they don't show it by the way they treat them. They say they care about others, but they don't show it by the way they live. They claim to love Jesus and wear his name, but they don't act like Jesus acted when he was here in terms of helping those around him. And like I say, if that's said, I hope it's not said accurately about any of us. Because we want to not just wear the name of Christ, we want to live up to it by doing everything we can to live like he lived. And in doing the good we do, it's as if we're casting our bread upon the waters. What do you expect when you cast your bread in the waters? You expect nothing. You expect it just to go downstream and be lost forever. What do you expect when you do something good? Well, I want something back. Well, no, you expect nothing. And then the wonderful thing is, having done the good and expecting nothing, so often, so many wonderful things come back. In many days, it will return to you. A song in our songbooks that speaks to this is 654, if you'll turn there with me. 654. And you'll notice when we get down to the refrain, the chorus, it says, "Lend a hand to help a brother who is striving hard and true. Don't forget that in the valley, there is someone needing you. Cast your bread upon the water. Do the good you can. That's expected of us. We have no right to expect that of the world. But the world has that right to expect that of us because that's who we are." Let's sing together, 654. "Are you dwelling in the sunlight? clear ways we can tell if we've reached a point of maturity and Christ-likeness is seen in the way we treat those who are in a position less than we are, in a station in life below where we are, who in no way can repay us or do anything in return for what we've done for them. Like perhaps someone who is waiting on you at a restaurant, or somebody who is helping in the grocery store, someone you don't know that when you do something for them, they will never see you again. You expect nothing in return. Those kinds of people, it's easy, if you're not Christ-like, just to look past, to look over, and to even abuse sometimes. Because after all, why waste any good will upon them, because they can't do anything back to help you? Again, the world thinks that way. The Christian spirit and the Christian ideal is to treat everybody, as you would want to be treated. Be they somebody far above your station in life, be they someone far below what you believe to be your station in life. You treat everybody like you yourself would want to be treated. That's the golden rule. And that's how we should cast our bread upon the waters, by doing good to everybody in all situations, all the time, regardless. Even regardless what mood you're in. Now read on in the passage just a few verses later. We haven't got time to look at all of these first few verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, but notice the last of these four verses, verse number 4. Where Solomon says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." I'm reminded of that one talent man who, unlike his neighbors who had more talents at their disposal and had done so much with them by doubling what they had, here the one talent man, he's afraid. He's so afraid of doing it wrong, of displeasing his master perhaps. For whatever reason, he's a lazy and unfaithful servant, the Lord tells him. Because he takes that one talent he has and he buries it. He's afraid. And fear can take on a lot of different aspects. It can look different in different situations, but you know what I'm talking about. It's that gripping feeling within you that stops you from doing the good you know you should do, because what if? As we just saw in the case before us, well, what if that person can't repay? What if that person never notices? What if that person never responds like I think they should? What if we waste our lives on so many what ifs? We never start doing anything but worrying about the what ifs. And those what ifs can completely overtake us and rip us away from the power we otherwise have within us. The Bible doesn't have a lot of good things to say about the fearful. They're put alongside the unbelieving in the book of Revelation. Those who have fear that just completely debilitates everything good they ought to be doing. Because, well, what if it doesn't work? What if I get it wrong? What if nobody notices? What if it's taken the wrong way? What if I stumble all over myself in the doing of it? It'd be better if I just took my little talent and dug a hole and sat there and cried about the fact that I don't have any more talents. And that's exactly what the wise man here is saying in the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes 11. When it comes to doing something good, and you might wonder, well, what are some good things I can do? I think you already know them. You see somebody who needs encouragement, encourage them. Oh, but it might give them a big head, or oh, it might make, what if? It might be a card sent to somebody that needs a word from you to help them in their life. Oh, but if I do that, what's going to happen next? And they might take it wrong. It might be just inviting somebody you know to a church service. Oh, I can't do that because they'd probably say no. Well, they might. They might laugh at me. I don't think they'd do that. They might hit me. I'm pretty sure they won't do that. But what if? I can't do that because, and we have the worst case scenarios in mind of what might happen next, which leads to nothing but paralysis, where we end up just sitting there on the hole we've dug with our talent in the hole doing nothing but whining and complaining about how come we're not doing more. Well, if you live that way in your mind, always wondering the what ifs, you'll never accomplish anything. Jesus knew the what ifs. He did. When he left heaven to come down here, he knew he was going to be our sacrifice. You can't be a sacrifice unless somebody sacrifices you. He knew he was going to die upon the cross when he came into this world. That was part of prophecy. He, as God, he knew that. But he didn't not come because he knew that. He came anyway, and we're thankful he did. And while here on earth, he knew along the way all the problems he would undergo. He knew that. But he went through with doing good anyway, because that's who he was. And we, to this day, we benefit from what he did for us going forward through uncertain times as we would see them, but certain for him. He was the author and finisher of our faith. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He became sin for you and for me. And if he went through and kept on keeping on, knowing what was ahead that was terrible for him, what keeps us from going on and keeping on when we just imagine what might be around the horizon as a slight negative? If we did something we know that's right to do. You see someone that needs help, help them. Unless you're going to enable some bad behaviors. You see someone you know that needs encouragement, encourage them. Call them. Visit them. Send a card to them. You have somebody you know needs the gospel, open the door and talk to them and at the very least invite them. You want to impact somebody else at the very least. And this is the least. When you see one of these lessons on Facebook or somewhere, just share it. Oh, but what if somebody knew that I was sharing stuff like that? Well, what if they found out I was a Christian? That'd ruin everything. What if? Maybe some people need to realize, hey, I think that person's a Christian. I think they believe some things. I think they really do believe some things. Would that be so terrible? I don't think so. But again, as this verse says, the one who observes the wind, the one who regards the clouds, the one who says, what might happen? What if? They'll never do anything. They'll never reap. Fact is, You can't reap seed you haven't sown. That's just a given of life. You can't reap seed you haven't sown. And as we just saw in the first, you can't get back what you haven't given to begin with. You can't expect to, and you won't. And what holds you back? Well, I'm afraid of what might happen. I'm afraid of how it might be taken. I'm afraid I might fail. I'm afraid. in every time of general revival of God's people throughout history, those revivals have been led by those who put the fear aside, see the need, and do what they can do every day to make a difference. Not considering what might go wrong, but going in the right direction and doing what's right. God rewards that kind of courage. He always has. And so if you take one thing from this evening's lesson, take this. Do all you can, every day, as much as you can, for as long as you're able. Because that's the right thing to do, and because that's how you live like Jesus in a world that needs him so desperately. Let's sing one last song this evening. Just the first verse of 634, which kind of sums this all up in the one verse of this one song. 634. Simply being here this evening, you're showing to us, to the Lord, to the world, that you're serious about your Christian life, and I appreciate that. I hope all of us will do the best we can to be better than we have been, to shine as lights in this world of darkness, to put out the goodness of the Lord, the goodness of Christ in our lives, expecting nothing in return but understanding that wonderful things will happen. And doing it simply because it's the right thing to do, because that's what Jesus did and expects of us. If you're not a child of God tonight, change that this evening. If you are an unfaithful one, come back this evening. If you need to come, come now, as together we stand and sing.